Our text this morning is from Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." May the Lord add blessing and understanding to the reading of his word together. The story of resurrection morning is filled with many questions. Can you imagine the conversations that took place in the company of the disciples and Jesus, their friends, and their families? So what did the banter around the dinner table sound like in those couple days after the death of Jesus? I can imagine there were a lot of memories coming up, remembering the life of their master and teacher and healer, Jesus. I can hear them say, "Do you remember how he taught? The parables that we didn't understand until he explained them to us. Do you remember the time they let the lame man down through the roof? Wow, that was a surprise." And then look on the faces of the Pharisees and the leaders who saw Jesus heal that man and watched him walk out of there with his mat in his hands. Do you remember the first day that he was with us? When we gathered at Simon and Andrew's house, and the word was starting to spread about him, and people were gathering around to hear him teach. And then remember that their mother-in-law was sick with a fever, and that Jesus touched her and the fever left. So many wonderful things that we saw and heard. So many memories. Much conversation. It's what happens after a loss, after a funeral. Families gather around and they remember. They talk about the times that they had with that loved one. They share the stories, don't they, of what that loved one meant to them. The Bible tells us that on the morning of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And as they were walking, as they were going down that road, I'm certain that they were having a conversation about the things, the happenings that they had witnessed over the last couple of days. And then one of the two Marys suddenly realized they were locked out of the tomb. They can't get to Jesus because there's a big stone over the door. And so the question becomes, who will roll the stone away? Who will roll the stone away? I want you to think with me about that question for a few minutes this morning. Who will roll the stone away? The remarkable thing here is that even though they realized that there was a very big obstacle in the way of their plan, they continued to walk toward where Jesus lay, at least where they thought he lay. So imagine their surprise, maybe some shock, maybe some relief when they got to the tomb, when they rounded that corner, when they came over that hill, and behold, the barrier was gone. The stone was rolled away. And the question went from, who will roll the stone away, to who rolled the stone away? The question changed. Who rolled the stone away? I want you to notice that these women were witnesses of the crucifixion. I want you to see this before we move forward. In Mark chapter 14, it says that some women were watching from a distance. What were they watching? They were watching this horrible execution scene where three men were being executed on crosses. And among these women, listen, same three ladies, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and this lady named Salome. In Galilee, through the last couple of years, these women had followed him, and they had cared for his needs. And many other women had come up with him from Jerusalem that were part of the followers of Jesus. They were there, and they witnessed what happened. They saw him crucified. They saw him bleed. They saw him die. These women were among the closest of Jesus' followers. They were part of the close family, the community that walked the roads with him in his earthly ministry. What heartbreak they must have been feeling that morning. Pain, disappointment, loss. All of these emotions were involved that morning, yet they came. They came with the intention of ministering one last time to their Lord. Anointing a dead body was not about embalming, because embalming was never practiced by the Jews. This was not about embalming. Anointing was about respect and love and devotion. They were going to the tomb because they felt called to care for Jesus as they had done when they were alive. That's why they were going to the tomb. Clearly, they did not expect resurrection, but they were still loyal. They were still intent on serving him. Friends, sometimes you need to push through the pain. Sometimes, no matter how bad it hurts, no matter how rough the situation looks, you got to push through the pain. I could stop there and we'd go home. Sometimes we need to be absolutely intent on serving Jesus despite the obstacles, including our own emotions and disappointments. Or I might say, especially beyond our own emotions and disappointments. These three women were determined. Anyone here ever come across any determined women? Dude, you all right? Mike, you all right back there? Steve, you okay? Anyway. But they were about to encounter a huge obstacle. As they were walking along, they realized they were locked out. They couldn't get to where Jesus was. And in a human sense, there was nothing they could do about it. Scholars tell us that the stone that was placed over the entrance to the tomb could have weighed hundreds of pounds, maybe a ton. And on top of it, it was sealed with the seal of the Roman government, making it illegal to move the stone to enter, making it humanly impossible to get to Jesus. One of the other disciples of Jesus could very likely to have asked these women, let me get this straight. You decided to go to the tomb with spices, although you knew there was a huge stone in front of the door. What? Is this what you're telling me? And I think Mary Magdalene laughed and she said, yeah, that's our plan. That's what we got up our sleeve. They did not let the criticism of others dictate their path this morning. And I might say, it could have been pouring down rain, and they got up and went. The two Marys and Salome looked at each other and said, we wondered who might move the stone for us, but we didn't keep that from keeping us from going. I love the story of the two Marys and Salome so much because they did not let a massive detail stop them from trying to serve their Lord. They did not let some massive obstacle stop them. Have you ever come up with an idea? And then some other folks involved in the conversation brainstorm the idea with you? I've been in meetings when we would discuss an idea and it would seem like there are always someone or even a few people who are quick to jump and say why the idea won't work. These three ladies bypassed that process. They moved forward with the plan. They moved forward with the plan. The probability that the stone was going to be there was near 100%. But if those three determined women let that obstacle stand in their way, they never would have gone to the tomb. They never would have met the young man in the white robe. They never would have been the first witnesses to the resurrection had they looked at the obstacle and rolled over and went back to sleep. I think they expected the stone to be there. They may have expected to fail in their work of anointing Jesus' crucified body, but they go anyway. Mother Teresa once said, listen to me, friends. God did not call me to be successful. God called me to be faithful. Let that one sink in for a minute. In other words, God's call on our lives has very little to do with results and everything to do with relationship. I said God's call on our lives has very little to do with results, but everything to do with relationship. For that's what faithfulness is. Faith is the glue that binds all healthy relationships together and binds us together with God. Faith is what our spiritual lives will be measured by. In the iconic passage in Hebrews 11, called by many the Hall of Fame of Faith, we realize that the members of that esteemed Hall of Fame were measured by their faith. The list goes through Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. by faith, Jacob and Joseph and Moses, etc. By faith. And in the ultimate act of faith, Jesus Christ rose from the dead in order to keep his promise to be in relationship with us. Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's our faith. That's why we celebrate today. There is no way to be a successful Christian. We can only be faithful Christians. We can only be faithful Christians. In this day and age, with all the measurements of success in society, the two Marys and Salome show us a different MO, a different way. Like them, we have obstacles in our paths, stones that we cannot move by ourselves. These stones exist in the world, in our daily lives. These stones are everything that keep people from entering a deep and meaningful and reconciling relationship with others and with God. Stones. And these stones can keep us from acting out our faith, from acting on our faith, from moving forward. We could roll over and go back to sleep, which is what I tried to do when I woke up to a rumble of thunder this morning. Looked at the radar, realized there'd be no sunrise service. But these three amazing women got up. They went to the tomb. And that stone was rolled to the side. If we don't rise in faith, we'll never know if our stones could be rolled away. I said, if we don't rise in faith, we will never know if the stones in front of us could roll away. It's utter foolishness what Mary and Salome did that Sunday morning. At least you could think of that way in terms of success. But in terms of faith, it was what they were called to do. It was the only course of action that made any sense to them. When the two Marys and Salome go to the tomb, they demonstrate their faith. Not because they think the stone will be gone, but because they still desire relationship with Jesus. I still desire relationship with Jesus, even if it means one last act of mournful anointing of his body. They do not expect to be successful. And if you think about it, in the end, they were not successful in their plan to anoint his body. They are not successful, but they remain faithful. I said they are not successful, but they remain faithful. I said that stones can keep us from acting in faith. I need to tell you this morning that in walking the roads with Jesus, that stones litter the way. Some are small, but just enough to make us stumble and maybe fall. Some are a little larger, easily seen from a distance, and they force us into a decision of which way to go. And some are gigantic, like the one in front of the tomb. There they are. We can't deny it, and it takes faith to keep going. It takes faith to keep going. It takes putting success, at least as it can be measured, in the hands of the leader, the teacher, the healer, Jesus. It takes faith to put it in his hands. Continue to walk forward. So, What are some of the stones that hinder us? What are some of the stones, the barriers that keep us from moving forward in faith? What things do we encounter in our lives that hinder our faith relationship with God? Well, there are many. But as I was preparing and praying this week, three came to mind that I'd like to talk about for a moment before we close. One of the stones is worry. We tend to look ahead and see disaster, failure, and problems. And the stone of worry keeps us from moving forward and acting in faith. There's a phrase out there that says, "Why worry when you can pray?" I say to you, why worry when you can walk the road of faith? Why worry when you can step ahead? Why worry when you can move forward in faith? God's power, listen, God's power will roll the stone of worry away. Another stone that hinders our walk of faith is our past. Sometimes we look at our past, and because our history has had some darkness, we tend not to have the confidence to walk forward on the road of faith. And Lord knows we need confidence. Things that hinder us from our past have a voice that whispers to you, you will not succeed. The voice of your past failure says to you, you're going to fail again. But the resurrection power of Christ in our life rolls that stone down the hill and out of the way. As we walk the path of faithfulness, as we press forward even in the face of obstacles, as we make decisions that route us toward Jesus, we find that the presence of Christ and the power of the Spirit gives us the strength to persevere. Somebody say amen. He'll roll the stone of your past failures out of here and gone. Out of here and gone. There's one more stone that I would like to mention. I hesitated to talk about this one today. That stone is the negative influence of some other people in our lives. Hesitated to go there this morning. But I encounter so many people who are profoundly negatively influenced by some of the people around them. Without being critical, without putting anybody down, without condemning anybody, I say to you that there are people in our lives sometimes who do not encourage, who do not build up, who do not spur you forward in your walk of faith. You hear this phrase sometimes, they drag me down. They drag you down. Now you know why I hesitated to talk about this. There are stones in your path. There are obstacles along the way. God rolls stones away. God gives strength. God gives confidence. He is not the voice of confusion. He is not the voice of discouragement in your ear. I submit to you this morning that you should surround yourself with a couple determined folks like Mary and Mary and Salome. They know there are barriers. They know there are obstacles, and yet you walk forward in your faith. What would they say to you on that morning? Come along, come and see. Come along and meet my Jesus, they would say to you this morning. Surround yourself with those kind of people, the kind of people that put in your ear faith, that put in your ear confidence, that put in your ear encouragement, that put in your ear salvation. Surround yourself with those kind of folk. But the lesson of the day, who will roll the stone away? It is the resurrection power of God that rolls the stone away. It is available to you today. I said, it is available to you today. The Bible says that Christ came to seek and save the lost. And because of his victory over death and the grave, he is here for you. He is here to forgive. He is here to redeem. He is here to transform. Jesus is here to teach. Jesus is here to roll your stones away. Father,